The majority of people that get into this space, the problem they have is they don't treat this like a business. Okay. This is a business. Okay. If you want to treat it like a hobby, that's fine. But over the long term, you're not going to continue to do well. And what I mean by that is, like, we invest in interior designers for all of our properties.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Today, I can't tell you how excited I am to introduce our guest for the day, Michael Sjogren. Mike, thanks so much for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to talk to you because you're a short-term rental expert. And for those of you who've been listening to the show for a while, you'll know that the short-term rental business and Airbnbs was my first, you know, that was the way that I was able to leave my corporate job, was through building a short-term rental business. And so it's something that I'm very passionate about, excited about. And Michael's doing it at a very high level. So tell us, Mike, how did you get started in real estate? Why did you end up choosing short-term rentals? And what's your why generally?
Yeah, for sure. So like many of the listeners, you know, I was told, go to school, get good grades, get a good job, put 10% in 401k, and, you know, you're going to be living the good life, right? And so I was always pretty good in school, and I majored in accounting. So I graduated and worked for an accounting firm, went back, got an MBA, CPA, all this stuff. And, you know, things were going okay. I didn't love what I was doing, but I was making a pretty good salary. My wife had a good job. But I always knew that I wanted to get into real estate investing, and I thought it was going to be through multifamily syndications and stuff like that. So I had hired some mentors and I was looking at doing all that stuff. And then everything changed when my son was born. He's five now, but when he was born with a very rare lung disease, and it's called interstitial lung disease. And basically anytime he fell asleep, he needed to be on oxygen and he needed to be monitored. And so it was a pretty crazy time. And we spent a ton of time at Boston Children's Hospital. And at one point we'd been there about 3 weeks straight and all the doctors are coming in, giving us their daily prognosis and all this stuff. But the only thing I could think about was, I've been here 3 weeks straight. I'm out of vacation time. I'm out of sick time. I have all these hospital bills piling up, and I'm going to have to leave my wife and my son here alone and afraid because I need to go back to a cubicle to trade time for money. And I was so angry with myself as a father, as a husband, as a provider, that I put my family in that situation. I told my wife that day, I said, I have no idea how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to find a way for us to build a business that gives us the income we want without trading time for money ever again. And so shortly thereafter, I met a gentleman in a mastermind group that I was a part of that was doing short-term rentals. And so, you know, when you're doing the math on multifamily, I'm like, okay, if I'm going to cash flow, say $200 to $300 a month, it's going to take a lot of doors for me to replace a six-figure income that I had as an accountant. So I was like, it just didn't feel possible. And then I met this guy and he's telling me he's making anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 a month on short-term rentals. And I didn't really believe him, to be honest. I didn't know him that well. Yeah. And I was like, all right, man, I'm an accountant. Like, let me see your books. And he showed me his numbers and I was like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this is nuts. So I told my wife, I said, all right, let's give this a shot. You know, we need a little break anyway right now. So we pulled a loan out of our 401k for a down payment on a little two-bed, two-bath condo up in the mountains in New Hampshire, place that we love to go. And we said, all right, we're going to test this out, but we're going to make a promise that we're going to use it every single month as a family. And then when we're not using it, we'll rent it out and see how it goes. And just like this guy said, like we launched that back in 2018, we use it every single month, and it was netting, like, after everything, about $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the coolest business model ever. Like, this is amazing. Like, I get paid to own a sweet vacation house. But at that point, I didn't have any more money to buy more properties. I didn't even have enough to do a rental arbitrage deal. Like, that was all I had with all the hospital bills and everything. So I started thinking about, how could I continue to scale this? And I knew, I understood commercial real estate. I understood multifamily. I thought, what if I just found, like, smaller, like, local landlords that had, like, you know, 3-4 unit buildings or duplex. And what if I approached them and said, hey, listen, if you invest to furnish this, I'll run everything for you. But what if I could make you an extra $500 or $1,000 a month? Is that something that you'd be interested in? And I got a lot of no's at the beginning. And I kind of refined that pitch over time, but eventually I got a yes, right? And that led to another yes and another yes. And then it just grew like wildfire through referrals because the returns and the cash flow that we were generating them was astronomically higher than they were getting from their long-term rentals. And before I knew it, within a year and a half, you know, we were at 15 properties across 5 different states. I left my job, my wife quit her job, and I retired my mom all through short-term rentals.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so it completely changed the trajectory of my life in a very short period of time.
Wait, just really quick. So how were they paying you? If you were giving them, how did you decide how to get paid?
So I do a 75-25 split. So 75% goes to the owners, and then I take 25% of whatever we bring in. So if a property brings $4,000 a month, the owner gets $3,000, I get $1,000.
Mm-hmm. And that's separate from the cleaning fee and maintenance and everything.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
So from that point, then one of the early investors that had given me a duplex, he's a developer and he has a lot of commercial property. He found this rundown boutique hotel up on the ocean, about 45 minutes north of Boston. And he was like, hey man, would your systems work at scale on a property like this? And we went and I looked at it and I was like, yeah, I think we could pull this off. So him and another partner put up all the money to do the deal and I ran everything. And we bought that property in February of 2020 for $2.25 million. And we just got the appraisal back a couple of weeks ago. It's now appraised at $5.5 million. And so we're finishing up a refi to get all of their cash out and some and a bunch of equity. And that property is doing extremely well. Leveraging all the systems that I learned from short-term rentals and obviously making some tweaks and adjustments to run a hotel. It's a little more in depth, but it's done really well. And then we went and we got another one.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at a third. And it's just, it's snowballing very, very quickly. And it's just been a blast. Like it's completely changed my life and I'm super passionate about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, I didn't mention this at the beginning, but Mike does have a platform for teaching short-term rentals. It's STR. What's your podcast called?
Short-term rental secrets.
Short-term rental secrets. Right. So make sure to check that out if this is a space you're interested in. And I just want to, you know, talk about the elephant in the room, which is we all know that COVID happened in March of 2020 and that did shake things up. Clearly you've been expanding and growing. It sounds like you've doubled your business ever since, you know, in the last year, which is amazing. And I'd love to hear your take on how that's working out, why it's working for you. You know, what other people might be, you know, because obviously certain markets were impacted and demand is still kind of up in the air with COVID, but it's clearly working for you. So can you speak to that?
Yeah, sure. So there's a couple things, right? So I would say March of 2020 was crazy for everyone. Everybody's like, oh my God, like we can't rent these properties anymore. There's all these regulations. But if you took a breath and you took a step back and you actually looked at what the regulation said, it basically said that you could only rent to essential travelers. So whether you realize it or not, when you're in this business, you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner. So you have to put your CEO hat on and say, okay, who can I serve and how do I attract them to my properties? So we went through, revamped all of our listings, rearranged the photos, put in aerial maps of how close we were to the local hospitals and everything else, changed the listing titles, essential travelers only, long-term discounts available, all these different things. And we started attracting traveling nurses, traveling doctors, people going to take care of mom and dad that needed to quarantine for 2 weeks before they could go see him, like all these different things. We did fine, right? There was that initial shock for like 3 weeks of like, all right, what are we going to do? And then we game plan and we execute. But our numbers for 2020 were higher than 2019.
Yeah, amazing.
Which most people are like, that doesn't make any sense. But if you think of it, a lot of people were also staying a lot longer. They were staying for 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time. And so you just need to get a little more creative with the marketing. And so like if somebody stayed with us for at least 7 days, I'd throw in a $100 Instacart gift card so that they could get groceries delivered to the house so they wouldn't even have to leave. Just like doing lots of little things like that to, again, readjust your positioning to attract your ideal target market.
Yeah, for sure.
And then as far as like there's the majority of people that get into this space, the problem they have is they don't treat this like a business. Okay, this is a business. Okay, if you want to treat it like a hobby, that's fine. But over the long term, you're not going to continue to do well. And what I mean by that is like we invest in interior designers for all of our properties. So they look dynamite. We invest in professional photographers for all of our properties. We use dynamic pricing software. We use guest communication tools. We use noise aware monitors, all these different things to treat it like a business. Most people aren't doing that. So if when you're scrolling on Airbnb and there's thousands or hundreds of thousands of listings, our listings are going to pop. They're going to stand out and we're going to be the ones that get booked first. Where you know, you can go on Airbnb right now, pick a city and just start scrolling and you're like, none of these are catching my attention. But the ones that do, those are the ones that are going to get booked. As long as they're priced correctly, they're targeting the right type of people, they're in a decent area, like all those things matter. So it's a totally different framework than on the multifamily side where you're trying to, you know, a lot of investors, when they get started with like C and B class properties, trying to put the least amount of money in to get them rented. You got to flip that with short-term rentals. You got to be willing to spend the money to make them look amazing so that you're going to be able to charge higher nightly rates and keep your occupancy up and stay ahead of the competition.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, and what I like about your model is that you're actually not taking that risk on, right? You're convincing the owners to take that risk on. And so they're investing in, it sounds like they're going to pay for the interior designer and the furniture, right?
100%. Yep.
Yeah. And then you're also not at risk because they're still the ones who are responsible for paying the mortgage, which is pretty nice risk adjusted position to be in, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are some tips for those of us who are, you know, on like what that pitch would look like to a property owner in today's day and age?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, so let's do some, we'll keep the math simple, okay? So let's just say it costs $10,000 to furnish a property, okay? So I'd say, hey, Suja, so you got this amazing property. I'm a short-term rental operator, blah, blah, blah. Have you ever considered running this as a short-term rental? You're like, oh, maybe I don't know. Like, what does that mean? Well, if you'd invest $10,000 to furnish it, because we need to have it furnished, we'll have it professionally designed, we'll build it out. You don't have to lift a finger. But if you invested $10,000, if I could make an extra $500 a month, that's $6,000 a year. That's a 60% cash on cash return on that $10,000 investment. You're getting 60% on your money anywhere else right now. So it's all how you present it, right? So that's why I like working with investors because it's all about numbers. If 10 grand to an investor is a drop in the bucket, wow, I can get 60% on that 10 grand. I can't do much else with that 10 grand unless I throw 50, 100, 200 grand at a deal. But if I can turn 10 into 16 in a year or whatever, like it's a different ball game.
Totally, for sure.
So that's kind of the 30,000 foot view of what that pitch looks like. So you just have to put yourself in the seat of who you're talking to. If you're talking to somebody that just bought a vacation house in Disney, it's going to look a lot different than that.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're not going to understand cash on cash returns and all these other terminologies. It's more around, hey, you've got an amazing property. You know, I'd love to help you not only pay for this, but actually put more money back in your pocket.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, we might need to make some tweaks. I want to make sure that you're good with the design, but this is what that would look like.
Yeah.
I traditionally worked more with the investors and the vacation homeowners just because I'm more of a numbers guy and it's just who I resonated with more. But I have students that do both and both models work. It just depends on who you want to target and what you want your business to look like for you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for that. And you did touch on this. I'd love to hear a little bit more on like what it is that makes your listings pop.
So working with an interior designer is huge, like a good one, because they're going to do little things, whether it's creating a shiplap accent wall in the bedroom that's painted like a navy that ties in with all the different woods and all these different things, or they'll put in like a swing chair in the living room that hangs from the ceiling. Like most people don't have that in a house. Like it just looks cool. So what are different design elements that you can pull in to make your listing stand out? You know, whether it could be investing in a hot tub, especially if you're in like a mountain type of community. Yes, I know they're $5,000 to $10,000, but I promise you, you're going to charge way more and your listing's going to stand out so much better. or even doing something simple as like hanging string lights around the deck. Yeah. So at night you get a really cool like sunset shot with those string lights hanging up. And what does it cost you? Like a few bucks to just get those lights. It's just thinking of those little things that's going to make your listing pop in the photos. And then when they get there, obviously it has to look good, but you're a marketer.
Yeah.
You have to get people's attention at the end of the day. So if your listing just looks flat, it might look amazing in person, but if it's a lot of like neutral tones and there's no like pop to it, people are going to scroll right by it because it doesn't pop in the first photo.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Really good tips. And you know, when you're pitching this to investors, obviously you're running an operations business, right? And so you could, I mean, if all you were doing is just getting an interior designer, then that might not be so appealing. If that's all they had to do, they could just do that themselves. So what's your value add to the investors? And can you talk about like the operations side and how you make that run optimally?
Yeah. So again, going back, you want to treat this like a business. My goal from the beginning was to spend no more than 2 hours a week running the business. Mm-hmm. Like that was the goal. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we've been able to do that as we continue to scale. And I'll break that down in just a second. But the value to an investor, they give me the money. They're like, dude, I don't want to lift a finger.
Right.
Like, I don't want to hear from a guest. I don't want to deal with a cleaner. I don't want to deal with any maintenance stuff. It's like having a free property manager that makes you more money. Mm-hmm. So they're completely turnkey, completely hands off. They literally get an owner statement at the end of the month and an automatic bank deposit into their bank account. Mm-hmm. So we bring all the different systems. Again, going through what does an investor and a landlord care about? One, they want to maximize their return. Two, they want their property to be taken care of. And three, they don't want any headaches.
Right.
Like those are the three key things.
Okay.
So what can we offer as a short-term rental co-host or manager, whatever you want to call yourself? One, we'll definitely make more money. Two, we have way more control over who goes into that property. I can decline a request at any point if I want to. Mm-hmm. We use Wi-Fi enabled locks. So the code gets changed for every single guest automatically. Mm-hmm. If you're on Airbnb and you just bought some keypad lock, unless your butt's going over there to change the code every time, you've got a security risk.
Right.
Right. So we use Wi-Fi enabled locks that integrate with Airbnb and all the platforms and all of our property management systems. We use security cameras on the outside so we can verify that who's ever there is supposed to be there. We have noise monitoring devices inside of the property. So if 10 o'clock is our quiet hours, if people start making too much noise, my team gets a text message right away. And we can just send a note to the guest or call them and just tell them, hey, you got to tone it down, or we're going to have to, you know, send somebody to escort you off the property.
Yeah.
Right. Then as far as wear and tear is another misconception. They're like, oh, my property is going to get beaten up. You talk to any of my maintenance guys that do long-term rentals and short-term rentals, they will all tell you there is way less wear and tear on a short-term rental. Because if you think of it, think logically, the last time you were traveling to go do something or go see somebody.
Yeah.
You weren't going there to camp out in a property. So most people are only in the property from like 8 or 9 o'clock at night till 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And then they're off doing stuff. So there's not a ton of foot traffic in it. They're not using a lot of the major appliances. Unless you're in a larger home, then they're going to be cooking and stuff like that. But for the majority of the properties, they don't really use the kitchen.
Right.
But they just want to be able to if they want to.
Yeah.
And then your property gets professionally deep cleaned and sanitized multiple times a week.
Yeah.
For you landlords, when was the last time you had a tenant that hired a professional cleaning company to come multiple times a week?
Right. Totally.
If once a year, you'd be thrilled. Right.
Yeah.
Most of the time you show up at the end of the lease and you're like, this place is gross. I got to replace the carpet. I got to replace this. I got to replace that. It's just a disaster.
Totally. Yeah. The maintenance is actually, it's so much less. Yeah. Awesome. Well, a lot of great tips, and I'm sure you have like so much more content to share about that. And yeah, I'd love to just also just ask you about, so, you know, you want to spend 2 hours running your business. I think you said you have 41 properties that you're running. So do you have somebody else managing cleaners and maintenance?
So I have a full team now of virtual assistants and one local person or a couple local people. Mm-hmm. So your business is going to evolve over time. If you have 5 or 6 listings right now, you should have a part-time virtual assistant helping you out. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you some actionable stuff. So if you're driving, pause it, write this down later.
Yeah.
Hire somebody for part-time 20 hours a week. Even if it's on the weekends, that's fine. You can arrange a schedule, but from 12:30 to 5:30 and then give them an hour break in the middle. But at 12:30, when they show up, they check, did the guests get out? Did the cleaners show up? Were there any issues? Did they need to file any claims? And does the next guest, can they confirm that the guest received their check-in instructions, access information, their keypad code, all of that stuff. What time are the guests going to get there? Confirming all that stuff, which is the bulk of the turnover process. Did they need to coordinate any maintenance on the property? They can take all of that off your plate. And then the only thing that you do after hours is just monitor, were there any messages? And again, there's automation tools out there that we recommend that can automate 95% of the messages that go out. But when you take a lot of that operations off your plate, it saves you so much time. And then as you scale, like now I have five full-time virtual assistants, one local person for me, and then I have a supervisor at one of the hotels, and we have a bar and all this other stuff. So there's more staff involved with the hotel, but for the STRs, it's pretty basic, but I have 24/7 coverage. So the only thing that I do is I have a weekly staff meeting. We go through all of our KPIs. We go through our 90-day targets. We review everything. And then we set our intentions and what our tasks are going to be for the week. And then my job is to help remove any obstacles from the team to make sure that they can get the job done. And I just help remove any obstacles so they can do what they need to do. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't read the book, The E-Myth, read that book.
Yeah.
Because it's going to teach you how to start thinking like a business owner instead of a technician in your business.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, I love that. Removing obstacles from your team. And so then are you the one who's in charge of getting new units online?
Like business development, but then I have other people on the team that can help facilitate that process.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm more involved on adding more units. My wife is the designer, so she handles like the build outs, but she has a team that works for her that handles all that stuff. So she kind of runs that side of the house. Mm-hmm. But mine's more like investor relations at this point.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Cool. Well, that's, yeah, so much there, Mike. Yeah, just love what you're doing. And you know, circling back to something you mentioned earlier on, which was that your why for doing this with your son, how is that going? Like, as far as not trading your time for money, like, are you literally not working, you know, Monday through Friday most of the time, or tell me about that?
Most of my time now is spent on the teaching because it's what I love doing.
Yeah.
So again, it's literally like 2 hours a week on the operation side. Like that's easy. And my operations manager is on vacation this week and I still have golfed twice this week already. So like, I have the time freedom because of the systems and the rest of the team that we built. And the majority of my time is doing stuff like this, getting on podcasts, doing speaking engagements. You know, I'm on Clubhouse all the time, putting out YouTube videos. I have my own podcast. So that's where a lot of my time goes. But like, I just came back. I got my son and I some lunch, some acai bowls. I was playing with him this morning. I'm going to watch a golf tournament after. I'll play with him for a little while. I can control my time now, which I never had that ability before. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're getting to that place for any of the listeners, what I will suggest is creating some structure around that because it sounds amazing, but initially it's actually a little overwhelming. When you don't have a boss anymore, nobody's telling you what you need to do anymore. And it sounds great, but it's also a little overwhelming. And it took me a while to find this groove of like, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays are like my meeting days. And then Mondays is my time to like really focus and get any work done. Like right now I'm like reviewing stuff for our taxes and everything else. So like, that's my time to focus on that and getting through the refinance on the other hotel. And then Wednesdays and Fridays are my golf days and like hanging out and do whatever I want to do. So like it's creating structure for yourself and being disciplined to stick to it, but you can design it however you want. You just got to find what works for you.
For sure. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. And then are you still like trying to like double your portfolio again this year, or how do you set your goals?
No. So again, it comes back to what was my goal, right? It was to create the income we wanted without trading time for money. We're making way more money now than I was when I was at my job.
Yeah.
And so I had this talk with my team about a month ago. I said, we're not taking any more management clients for now. Like we don't need it. We're at a good spot. The only thing that we want to focus on now is more acquisitions for my personal portfolio. So I'm looking for more deals for us to buy. Because I've achieved that. And I want to spend more of my time doing stuff like this and helping other people get in the game. Because I mean, at a certain point, like it just becomes a chess game. Like you don't have to worry about money ever again. Then it's like, what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with my time? What type of impact do I want to make? Do I want to add another 200 units? Not really. I mean, I could. I get deals all the time now because I've been doing it so long, but it's more like I'd rather focus on the things that I love doing, which is this kind of stuff. I just talked to a publisher yesterday. I want to start working on a book, like doing those types of things. Like that's what I want to spend my time doing, not just adding more deals just to make more money.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. I think that's awesome. You know, I mean, everybody approaches it a little bit differently and it's just really great to hear your perspective on growth and like what you're, you know, how you want to pivot now that you're at a different place. So much awesome stuff, Mike. Really appreciate you coming on and yeah, would love to just share this with the listeners. Please let the listeners know how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share.
Yeah, for sure. And thank you again for having me on. This was a lot of fun. I love doing this stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah, you guys can check out my site. It's STR, like short-term rental, strsecrets.com. You can catch the podcast on there. I've got a bunch of free resources, free trainings, free downloads, all sorts of good stuff on there. You can find me on Instagram at the Airbnb guy. I've got a free Facebook group, the Short-Term Rental Secrets community. I'm on Clubhouse at Michael Shogren. I'm all over the place. So if you just go to strsecrets.com, you'll find me over there.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for dropping so many bombs today, Mike. Really appreciate it. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.